Rainmaker FM.
This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at rainmakerplatform.com. Welcome to The Showrunner, where we have one goal: teach you how to develop, launch, and run a remarkable show. Ready? Welcome to The Showrunner, the podcast for people dedicated to creating remarkable audio experiences for their audience. This is episode number 79. I am your host, Jared Morris, VP of Marketing for Rainmaker Digital, and I will be joined momentarily, as I always am, by my audiobook listening co-host, Johnny Naster, the host of Hack the Entrepreneur. And speaking of audiobooks, this episode is brought to you by Audible. More on them later, but if you love audiobooks or have always wanted to give them a try, you can check out over 180,000 titles right now at audibletrial.com/rainmaker. Well, Johnny, welcome to this episode of The Showrunner, the second time that we are recording this episode of The Showrunner, and I suppose we should begin by explaining to folks why we are recording this for a second time and why there was no new episode of The Showrunner in their feeds last week.
Yeah. So as you were doing the intro, I was like, are we going to discuss this now or are we not? Like, are we just going to pretend that this didn't happen and maybe like as the secret thing on the outro? But
no, we have to. I mean, I think showing people the warts and showing people our mistakes has been something that we've done since we started this show. And so it wouldn't be true to just what The Showrunner is if we didn't do that this episode. So I have to take full responsibility for this, for the reason why there wasn't an episode for you last week. And it's because I went against something that I always do. And so I think before we jump into this week's topic, I do want to explain this because I think there's an important lesson to be learned. So we recorded this episode like we always do. And the way that we do this, Johnny, is you and I alternate who submits the episode to Toby and to our editing team. And so last week it was my turn. And in the, just kind of the rush to get everything ready for Thanksgiving week, I didn't submit this episode. I thought that I had. It's one of those weird things. Like, I thought I did, but I didn't. And so I was cleaning out my folder of recordings just to kind of clear room on my hard drive, and I deleted this recording. But I hadn't done what I almost always do, which is the moment we get done recording, I upload it to Dropbox. So it's always right there. So I didn't even, you know, I mean, I thought twice. I was like, okay, you have it, you know, you don't need any of these recordings, do you? I was like, no. So I deleted them. And then, of course, come to find out, we don't have an episode in there. Went and looked on Dropbox, didn't find it. And we came to the realization that we were going to have to record this again. And so we explained this, again, to stay true to what we do here on The Showrunner, but also to reinforce the lesson that when you are recording an interview or anything, really, as soon as you're done, upload it to Dropbox or duplicate it, back it up somewhere so that just in case the worst case scenario happens and you delete one recording, you're not totally out of luck needing to re-record as we are right now because you have one saved. It is an important best practice to follow. I didn't follow it, and this was the result.
Yeah, it's also, I think, because we've been changing up our process a bit. We went from Zencastr, then sometimes we do Skype, and then Zencastr, and now we're on Skype. And in Skype, we have to hit call recorder, which I just hit call recorder a minute and 21 seconds ago. So I kind of missed the intro to this one too. So I take just as much blame because you messaged me yesterday on Slack. You're like, I deleted it. Do you have the file? And typically I record it. But last week we were a minute into it. I realized I hadn't started. So I was just like, whatever. I don't need to. Jared's got it. And so I didn't have a recording either. Well, so it's just as much my fault.
And that's the thing. When you don't have a backup, you leave yourself open to this kind of thing. It's not going to bite you probably 98% of the time, but that 2% of the time, you're always happy that you have a backup. So either have, you know, your guest or your co-host record the backup, or even better, upload it, back it up as soon as you're done with it so that you've always got it in a second place. So that's our big lesson. If you stop listening to this episode and that's all you take, it will be a very valuable lesson. But we do apologize for there not being a new episode last week. And now we look forward to making it up to you with a good, valuable, useful lesson this week. Although now, Johnny, we have to do the dreaded try to recreate the magic of a recording that we've already done, doing it the second time. In some ways, it can be better, you know, because hopefully you've gone through the material and now you're a little better at it. And in other ways, it can be difficult because maybe the spontaneous good stuff that you had in the original recording isn't there. So we'll see what we do here on this one.
Since I want you to keep listening out there, I'm going to say that it's going to be better this time.
And yeah, and no one has anything to compare it to because obviously that recording is lost forever.
Forever. Gone, yes. Deleted.
This is going to be way better than the original. We guarantee it. You ready to jump in?
Let's do it.
All right, so we are continuing our kind of process here of going down our Trello board and attacking some of these topics that have been suggested to us in questions by Showrunner listeners. And this is another one. Someone asked us, is it okay to alternate monologues and interviews in the same podcast feed? And so we're going to talk about that, some of the positives, some of the negatives, and then give you some guidance. In particular, a few questions to ask yourself that will help you decide whether you should or should not do this. And so let's go. Before we get to the drawbacks, because there are some drawbacks to doing this, let's talk about some reasons why you might do this, Johnny. And I think a few of them that jump out to me are to help you ease the scheduling load, because obviously if let's say that you do an interview show and you decide to do a monologue, well, you only have to schedule with yourself. You don't have to juggle anybody else's schedule, so that can help you ease that scheduling load. You may genuinely have a lot to say. If you're doing an interview show about a topic you're really passionate about and experienced in, you may have things to say and you don't want to overwhelm your show while there's a guest on, so you do a monologue that helps you get out some of the important points that you want to make. It also is a way to provide variety for your audience. So while some people love the consistency of interview after interview after interview, a monologue can provide some variety, which when done well, can be a nice way to keep things fresh. And it can also be a way to test out some ideas. If you have some new ideas that you want to put out there, what other ways or maybe how do you want to expound on some of those positives or reasons why someone might want to alternate monologues and interviews in the same feed?
I would add audience engagement. So I've been doing this. I haven't been doing monologues, but I changed the format of my show 3 or 4 times now with going deep episodes where I don't cover any of the same questions. I have a guest back on the show and we go into something deep that they're an expert in. And I've been using it to engage my audience and ask them for their feedback. Ask them for other subjects they'd like covered, if they like it, if they don't, if they think there should be a hack in it, anything to kind of just get people going. Like it's just changing the pattern, right, sort of the normal interview and getting people to reach out to me via email or Twitter or whatever it happens to be and get that sort of conversation going. I found it really good for that. And I'm just using it as I don't want or I'm not expecting any. I guess I'm taking it like a scientific sort of approach rather than like pushing it and hoping that it will be something that everybody wants. I'm using it just to explore an idea. I'm completely open to the idea that that might actually take over my show, which I can't imagine it doing that, but I would be totally open to that if it's better for my audience. So I'm using it just to kind of re-engage them. And now that I have more people listening and see where other people think maybe the show could go or should go.
And I want to direct people to your feed, to Hack the Entrepreneur, because what you do is you have a very specific kind of titling format for your episodes, and you switch that up when you have these going deep episodes, and you put in brackets going deep, and I think it's in all caps too. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But what's important there is it helps your audience know what to expect, because as we start to transition into the drawbacks of doing this, the biggest drawback that I see is that your audience doesn't know what to expect from you from episode to episode if you start alternating interviews and monologues. And so I think you need to be clear when your audience member is making the decision whether to listen or not, whether to invest their valuable time in your episode. You want to make it clear what they are about to listen to, because maybe they really want the interview and they don't necessarily like your monologues. You want them to know that. Obviously, you want them to listen to everything, but you want your audience to be able to make that choice. And so if you look at Johnny's feed for Hack the Entrepreneur, it's very clear which episodes are going deep. And it's clear from the headline that this is different. I'll direct your attention to our feed at the assembly call as well. Obviously, that show is based on a post-game show, and you can see the normal titling format for a post-game show episode and how that changes when we have maybe the podcast version of our radio show or a special midweek edition episode. And so it just... It allows for your audience to know exactly what's coming in that particular episode. And I think doing that helps you to avoid one of those drawbacks, which is that your audience won't know what to expect from you. A couple other drawbacks, and then John, I want to get your thoughts, are that if you alternate, you may not be focusing on what your show is best at. And so if you are great at interviews, but you struggle with monologues, then every time you do a monologue means that that is a piece of content that isn't as good as it could be because you're not doing an interview. Now, you may say, well, I need to do some more monologues to get better at it, and that may well be true, but let's always look at this from the audience perspective. And so if you're not focusing where your show is best, are you truly giving your audience the best experience? And you can also struggle to get into a rhythm. If you're constantly alternating, and especially if you're alternating how and when you're recording, you may not quite get into the rhythm as an interviewer that you want to, or the rhythm of doing a monologue as you want to. So if you feel that happening, that's another drawback to doing this that you want to be aware of before it has any negative impacts on your show. What other drawbacks, Johnny, do you see from doing this?
I think that's the biggest one, is that idea of sort of like half-assing it, right? We talked about this in the previous episode when it was, should you start a podcast, that please, please, please Ryan Holiday thing, when he talked to Jordan Harbinger from Art of Charm, and who Jordan said he didn't get good at interviewing it until he was at episode 250, which is a lot of interviews. And I think that I really don't think that you should start and choose both, because I think you should sort of work on mastery, if you want to call that, of the one, I guess, medium, or the one sort of like the way you want to do it, right? I think that it's so much work to get good at monologues, and it's so much work to get good at interviews. I mean, people spend their whole lives trying to master interviewing, or like speaking in a really just, you know what I mean? So to start splitting them too soon, I think that oftentimes we do it because we're bored, or we're like, we feel like we're in a rut or something. And to me, that's not the rut. It's like, it's the dip, right? You got to push through that. That's where mastery sort of comes from. That's where you start to figure out ways to do what it is you're doing in a better way, so that you get out of this quote unquote rut, rather than I'm just going to do something else too. Because then that part suffers and it sort of stays in the rut, but you feel like you're not in a rut because now you're also doing something half-assed, and it doesn't benefit the audience or yourself as trying to get better at either one of these skills. So I really want to make sure that you focus on it for the right reasons, and that you, I would even say like 100 episodes, like you've gone through with us. You've learned how to pick the proper format for your audience. Trust that gut, trust that instinct, and stick to it. Know that those dips are just those dips, and those are part of getting good. Those are part of becoming a showrunner. Those aren't things that you should sort of try and veer away from too quickly. Those are things you should just plow through. I honestly believe that. And it's hard, yes, but that's where, I mean, I'm approaching episode 300. I've done three other shows in 300, and they started 30 episodes ago or something. And yeah, Trust me, there's been what I thought was huge ruts, but when I push through them and just try and do what I'm doing but better, that's when my audience really responds and grows from there. And it will do the same for you, but just focus on sort of just that whole mastery thing, right? So I really, and I'm probably biased because of the fact that I so want to stick to one thing, and I so don't believe that I'm good at interviewing yet. And I have so much room to go. Like, I know I've gotten almost infinitely better than, well, I am, because I've never even interviewed when I started. It was my very first interview ever. But 300 in, I'm starting to get more comfortable with it, and I feel better about it, but I'm so nowhere near like a professional interviewer. And I love that this huge long road is ahead of me. And the more episodes I can do like that, the better I feel like I'm pushing that direction. And so I kind of want to push people to really do that if they can. But I think if you hit 100 episodes and you still have, like, you want to start doing other stuff, like Art of Charm does like a mini Monday episode, they do Fan Mail Friday, but I mean, they're at 570 episodes of their regular one. And I think with like the mini episodes, they're approaching almost 50, and fan mail, they're approaching almost 100. So, I mean, they're talking a ton of shows. They didn't start this stuff right at the beginning. So I guess it's that self-awareness, right? Knowing what you're trying to get around rather than just trying to start a new format.
Yeah. That great point, Johnny. Really great point. You mentioned Art of Charm. The other thing that they do well, and we'll direct you to their feed as well, is, as you said, they have Minisode Monday, and then they do interviews on Tuesday and Wednesday, and then they have Fan Mail Friday. It is clear from the headlines what it is, and that's so important for doing this right. If you want to have different formats within the same feed, make it clear to the audience what it is so there's never any guesswork for what they're going to listen to. Because when folks have 50 different feeds that they're subscribed to and a bunch of new episodes every day to look at, if there is uncertainty, they're just going to move on and consider the next one to listen to. So you don't want that uncertainty. So it's so important that if you do decide to do this, that you are consistent with your titling and use that to set audience expectations. So let's go back to the original question that began this episode. Is it okay to alternate monologues in interviews? I think Johnny just gave you a great way to think about this, and I think it is great advice to stick with one for a while and get good at it. Once you are at that point, then is it okay to do this? We have a few questions that you should ask yourself to know if it is, and we're going to get to those here in just 1 second. First, we do want to let you know that this episode of The Showrunner is brought to you by Audible. Offering over 180,000 audiobook titles to choose from, Audible seamlessly delivers the worlds of both fiction and nonfiction to your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or computer. And for Showrunner listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check them out. To get started right now, visit audibletrial.com/rainmaker. And if you want a recommendation, Johnny, you know, we promoted you up at the beginning of this episode as audiobook listener. And I believe you were telling me last week that you use audiobooks when you're on long trips, right?
Yes. Road trips. When we go on road trips as a family, I take that time to make my, like, force my daughter to listen to books that I would like to sort of sway her, like, maybe thinking on something without listening to me just rant about it, because we all know how that works when your dad does that. So the last one we did was Growth Mindset. Is that what it's called? Growth. No. What's that book called?
By Carol Dweck?
Carol Dweck.
Yeah.
Growth Mindset?
That's The Big Idea. I don't.
Yeah.
Grit. Was it Grit?
No.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember either. But it's her like classic book about it.
Search
about
for Carol Dweck and you'll find it.
Yeah, it's about getting the mindset of that you kind of can do anything if you think about it that way, that you can grow into it. I think it might be just called Growth.
Maybe it is. Mindset. Yeah. She has a book called Mindset.
That's what it is.
Mindset. Teaching a Growth Mindset. There you go.
Yeah, totally. So it was long. It was read by her. It actually came out, I believe, quite a bit before like Audible. You can tell it was like off a CD or something. But we listened to it and it was excellent. And because it wasn't me, it was this nice Carol Dweck lady speaking. My daughter listened to it and got some really cool points. Argued with her a couple times, which is always good while we were listening. But yeah, I love them for road trips. They're good. And we've listened to like novels as well, too, which are also really
very
exciting.
Nice. So to liven up road trips, to brainwash your children, download your free audiobook today. Go to audibletrial.com/rainmaker. Again, that's audibletrial.com/rainmaker. All right, Johnny, let's help people answer this question. Is it okay to alternate monologues and interviews? And here are three questions that you should ask yourself if you are trying to decide if you're going to do this. Number one, are you substantially better at one format over the other? And this gets back to one of the potential drawbacks of doing this, because if you are substantially better at one format over the other, then focus. This is especially true in the beginning, but as Johnny just told you, you probably want to go at least 100 episodes one way anyway before you even consider doing this. So if you are substantially better, focus and maybe practice and do it elsewhere. You know, you may not want to practice, you know, if you have built an audience and you're 100 episodes in, you may not want to practice with your audience. You may want to get better before you introduce that to them. So that's one. Are you substantially better at one format over the other? The second question is, can you actually deliver additional value to your audience by alternating formats, or are you simply doing it because you want to? Right? We talked earlier, maybe you're in a rut with interviews, and so you're thinking, okay, let me do a monologue to break out of this rut. But again, if you're not good at monologues, then you're not going to be giving your audience something better. So maybe in that case, try something else to break out of your interview rut. Maybe adding a new question or subtly shifting your interview format, something to keep that interesting, but do it in a way that is going to deliver additional value to your audience, not simply because you want to, right? Always empathize with your audience and use that to inform your decision as opposed to just what feels good to you in the moment. And then third is, can you be consistent? If you're going to do this, especially over the long term, can you be consistent in scheduling, in formatting, in titling so that you keep your audience oriented and knowing what to expect? It doesn't mean that if you're going to do this, you have to do it every other week or you have to do it every third episode of the month. You know, you can be, you can put them in where they fit, but at least be consistent with formatting, with titling so that your audience knows what to expect. And if you can't at least make that commitment, then I wouldn't do this. So that question to me is the most fundamental. And then the other questions are obviously going to lead you to the answer too. But those are the three questions. Are you substantially better at one format over the other? Can you actually deliver additional value to your audience by alternating formats? Or are you simply doing it because you want to? And can you be consistent so that you keep your audience oriented and knowing what to expect? Answer those three questions, and those, I think, will lead you in the right direction for, is it okay for you with your show to alternate monologues and interviews? Because that's the last point I think that is important to make here, is the answer to that question is all dependent on the context. Is it okay to alternate monologues and interviews? That's a question you're going to have to answer for your show. I think we've shown you that there are some positives to do it. There are some negatives to do it. Whether it's the right answer for you depends on you and your audience and the context of your show. Those three questions will help lead you in the right direction.
I just had a breakthrough.
Oh, whoa. Okay. Live on the air.
I've realized why I've done 300 episodes of straight interviews. Because I guess, I wonder if I did this subconsciously or if this just worked out this way, but I get to do a monologue every single show at the Hack. I literally do a 1 to 5 minute monologue every single episode after an interview.
Yeah.
And I only did that to keep like the radio style and keep people hooked all the way through to see if they could disagree or argue with me at the end. But to get and sort of summarize the whole thing, but that's strictly 100% a monologue at the end. So I get to do both every single episode, 300 episodes, which has possibly kept me satisfied, which is maybe why I haven't been able to empathize as well with other showrunners when they get this urge to start doing monologues. Yeah. And I'm just like, man, I'm like at episode 300 and I haven't had that urge yet. So why do you have it at episode 30?
Yeah.
And it's maybe because I've actually outsmarted myself
yeah.
and put the monologue in. And I didn't put it in at the beginning as like just a weird intro because I wanted to get right to the chase, give people the meat. But then at the end, you cannot listen if you don't want to, but I'm going to have my monologue after the Hack.
So is it okay to alternate monologues and interviews? Yes, but it's better to do both.
your at least for me, it's yeah. really, wow. That's just a breakthrough.
All right. You've now made me feel a lot better about the first version of this getting deleted because we didn't have that
breakthrough
discovery.
At all.
No. Yeah, there's so a reason why this happened.
Yeah. So maybe if you're in the stage of figuring out your format, maybe think about it this way. If you're the kind of person who likes to change things up, maybe try and encompass more than one format into your show. And maybe if you are really getting the urge at episode 30 or 50 or 80, wherever you're at, and you really want to incorporate monologues, maybe think of a way to put in a monologue into your, like a short one into each show, after or before the interview. I mean, you can copy my format if you want. That's totally up to you. And I'm cool with it, but I mean, it works for me and I'm definitely a person who likes to do different things. So it's shocking actually that I've been able to get to 300 episodes, but this is exactly how. That's it. I'm done. I got it.
That's awesome.
This is cool.
That's great.
I tricked myself.
No, that's fantastic. So if you have been wrestling with this question and thinking about it, let us know what you decide. Tweet us at Jared Morris, at John Naster. We always love hearing how you take this advice and apply it to your particular show. So tweet us, or even better yet, you can email us. And the best way to do that is to subscribe to our Showrunner mailing list. So go to showrunner.fm, join the Showrunner. You'll get our weekly newsletter. And even on weeks like last week when we don't have a new episode, we still send out something useful. And I sent everybody links to a couple recent episodes of The Writer Files where they interview the creator of Welcome to Night Vale, one of the great podcasting success stories. And so I hope everybody had a chance to listen to that. If not, go check out The Writer Files. You can go to rainmaker.fm and find The Writer Files. Listen to those couple of episodes. But the best part about being on that email list is everybody, if you reply to an email, we always reply back. There hasn't been one email that anybody has sent us since we started the show that we haven't replied back to personally. And we love those opportunities to interact with you. So let us know how you answer this question. Let us know, other great news that's going on with your show. We love hearing that. So again, go to showrunner.fm, join that list. And it's the best way to stay in touch with us. Wow. All right, Johnny. I think that concludes the... Oh, crap. I'm not recording.
You're totally joking.
I'm kidding. Just messing with you.
Because the third time around, I don't think it'll get better. No. I was about to say we should start doing two takes of everyone because this one was better.
Yes.
But... A third, I think.
No, we would. There's no way. There's no way we could have any enthusiasm if we did.
We got to be a little bit more professional than that.
Yeah. No, I'm recording. We're good. Okay. We're good. Now I got to hit. Now I got to stop the recording and immediately upload to Dropbox like I always do. I'm not going to forget that. That is the next step.
I made a folder.
Good. Okay. So there's already a folder. We're going to go upload this and everybody will get to hear this on December 7th.
Awesome.
Beautiful. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care.